Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Raines. And today we're taking a look at two tech stocks that are set to report their quarterly earnings next week as we start to ramp up into the busy portion of Q3 earnings season, and that is Netflix and Snap. But before we get everything, I want to say remember to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts, and make sure to check out our new Zacks.com/promo page for a look into some of our services, portfolios, and more. All right, so quickly we're going to go through before we look at both Netflix and Snap, just the broader market picture to provide more context heading into Q3 earnings season. So if we look back to last week, started off on a really rough note, and then we saw the market bounce back last Thursday with big jumps for both the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ, both trading back above Monday's levels. The positivity doesn't necessarily mean the market won't experience more selling and volatility in the fourth quarter, especially considering how far we've come in 2021 and off those coronavirus lows. So with that said, though, we've seen sort of this slow churn downwards since the early September highs, where we've seen a similar pattern where we see some moves lower. Then every time there's a big drop, we do see the bulls buy back in, but we've still just sort of churned lower for the last 5 weeks or so, with both the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ trading about 4% off their lows, give or take, at the moment, with the benchmark sitting around 3.5, the NASDAQ sitting around 4%, as we have seen some pullbacks. But obviously, traders and analysts have been calling for what could even be a correction, considering how far we've come. So as I said, there could certainly be more selling in the near term. We did see, though, however, some positivity. We saw some solid jobs data on Thursday, but then that was followed up by pretty brutal jobs data that came out for September. So Thursday was the weekly unemployment benefits. And then Friday, we saw that we only added 194,000 jobs in September, which was the smallest gain since December of 2020, and down well below from 366,000 added in August, which also fell well below economists' expectations. So obviously not the best sign, but Wall Street hasn't reacted too negatively to that report, especially since we do see some signs of positivity heading into the vital holiday shopping season. So we'll see how much this inability for these companies who need workers to find workers heading into the holidays will actually impact the economy and spending. So as I said, it's kind of up in the air at the moment, but the long-term bullish case certainly remains, considering the interest rate environment that will remain in favor of stocks even when the Fed starts to raise their rates. And also, despite some slowing Q3 revisions activity, the overall earnings picture remains really strong. So we're calling for Q3 earnings for the S&P 500 to jump 26% on 14% higher revenue, and then continue to grow both in the fourth quarter and then even into Q1 and Q2 on top of those blowout earnings we saw earlier this year. And then the margins picture also paints a positive picture, with the 2021 S&P 500 margins for the annual rate to be at 12.7%, which would be an all-time high, and then climb to another all-time high in 2022, and then all the way up to 13.7 in 2023. So that could tell you a picture where the pricing, the transitory inflation really might actually be transitory, despite all of the rising price concerns in the near term. The margin picture for the S&P 500 is telling us quite a different story. And then the overall annual growth for 2022 is expected to continue, and 2023 as well, with about 10% earnings growth in 2022 and 2023, and then about 7% revenue growth next year and another 5% in 2023. So three straight years of big growth off those COVID lows, despite all of these other concerns, certainly sets up some long-term bullishness, despite, as I said, these ongoing concerns heading into, or as we're in the fourth quarter, heading into that vital holiday shopping season. So with that in mind, we're going to start off by looking at Netflix, which trades on the ticker NFLX. The company is set to report its third quarter earnings on Tuesday, October 19th, so next Tuesday. So let's see why the streaming TV giant might be worth buying. So if we look back to earlier in the year, Wall Street was really disappointed by its Q1 subscriber projections, and it offered up some disappointing guidance at the time. The company then added about 1.5 million members in the second quarter, as the streaming giant continues to see slower growth in new subscribers following that huge COVID boost last year in 2020. The company said at the time that the pandemic created what it called lumpiness in its membership growth, referring to that higher growth that it saw last year. So the company said it added about 209.2 million subscribers worldwide as of last quarter. And as we might as well point these out. So this came after a blockbuster year in 2020, where it added 37 million users to blow away its 23 million average during the past 5 years. So 2020 was going to be really hard to follow up. So even the fact that it's still growing its user base is a good sign after that massive year last year. Some on Wall Street are also worried about the rise of Disney and Amazon and Apple. They're spending billions and hundreds of millions of dollars on new content, and they have proven to be relatively strong streaming players in the early age. Luckily, though, streaming wars are far from a winner-take-all, and many consumers are paying for multiple services given their vastly different content libraries, and more people are cutting the cord every day. So a recent report from the National Research Group said that 1 in 4 U.S. adults canceled their traditional pay TV services in the past year, with the figures nearly the same across various generations, so from Gen Z all the way to those baby boomers, which is a good sign. So with this in mind, Netflix, as we said, boasts around 109 million subscribers globally, up roughly 20 million from this time last year. Disney has accumulated about 115 million to its Disney Plus service, and if we look at what they did, they blew past their own initial expectations. They were for around 60 to 90 million by 2024, and they're now expecting to hit upwards of 260 million in that same range. The streaming giant also told investors last quarter that while Netflix is experiencing competition and growth from its rivals, that they aren't seeing any need to make an acquisition anytime soon. So the company said, quote, "We don't view any assets as, quote, must have, and we haven't yet found any large scale ones to be sufficiently compelling to act upon." So they're going to remain steadfast at the moment, and they're pretty confident that their growing content library is going to be able to stack up well against all of these other big competitors. So the Netflix continues to roll out a diverse array of shows, movies, reality TV, and much more in the U.S. and around the globe. That new show that's popping everywhere, even in headlines on the Wall Street Journal, is that Squid Games that's supposedly attracting users from all over the place. And that's a show that was originated in South Korea. So this is now turned into a big global phenomenon. So that's something Netflix is pointing to. They've landed deals with Hollywood giants, both in front of and behind the camera. This includes Steven Spielberg and other big blockbuster names. So if we look back, Netflix posted 24% growth last year, marking a slowdown from recent periods. That's come to expect, though. They had one of the best runs in the last decade in the 2010s. But Netflix, as you mentioned, yeah, it was a star of the 2010s, averaging about 28% sales growth during the past decade. So it's not like they were pulling in 50% growth every quarter. So that slowdown isn't that much. So looking ahead, Zacks estimates call for its 2021 revenue to climb another 19% from $25 billion all the way up to about $30 billion, with it then set to jump another 14%, or about $4.4 billion higher in 2022. Meanwhile, its projected earning or adjusted earnings are projected to jump 71% this year, and then 22% in 2022. And we should note that the company's earnings revisions activity has been a little mixed recently. So the company's slipped a little bit since before the report. So we were calling for $10.51 per share of full year earnings, and now we're calling for $10.40 per share. So not a massive change, but it is worth noting that that has changed since before it reported its Q2 results, and it missed by about 6% last quarter after having beat by about 26% in the first quarter. But we should note that Netflix normally trades, historically it's traded based mostly on its user growth and not necessarily that earnings beat or miss. And importantly, investors and Wall Street are pretty happy that Netflix projected it will post break-even free cash flow in 2021, which marked a huge improvement from previous projections that called for burning as much as $1 billion. And the company also has continued to reiterate the fact that it no longer needs to raise external financing for money to finance its day-to-day operations, which is a big win After it had taken on billions and billions of dollars to ramp up content over the last several years. And with this in mind, Wall Street remains largely high on the stock, with 21 of the 29 brokerage recommendations that Zacks has coming in at strong buys, with two more buys and only two of those 29 brokerage recommendations coming in below a hold. And if we look ahead, the company is expected to add about 3.5 million new global memberships this year to get up to about 213 million. So some solid growth. It would come in well above last quarter's growth based on their own projections. Netflix earnings estimates help it hold the Zacks rank number three hold right now. It also rocks an A grade for growth in our style score system. And in terms of the stock price movement, it had lagged the market until after its second quarter earnings report, having moved roughly sideways for most of 2021 until then. And the company then finally broke out of that slump, and it's now up about 18% in 2021, including a 25% climb since early August, with it setting brand new record highs of $646 a share just last week, even as the market has fallen from its own September highs. With this in mind, the company is sitting a little bit near those overbought RSI levels. It went way above those a couple weeks ago, but now it's back to just around that oversold level. So we could see some near-term selling, but the positivity heading into earnings is still there for sure. And the stock has still underperformed the S&P 500 of the last year, up 18% versus 26% for that benchmark index. So for a stock like this that still has huge growth runway, it might not be a bad idea to bet on the streaming TV giant as it's come out of its little bit of a slumber over the last couple months. And with that said, it's also seen its valuation come down to more attractive levels for anyone who's considering Netflix heading into that Q3 report next week. Certainly, if you're a longer-term investor, now might be a solid time to consider it, even though it's maybe going to experience a little bit of a pullback. But if you're thinking about holding Netflix for the next year or longer, might be worth considering heading into that report. And now we're going to look at another company that's set to report next week that operates a different business, but it's still a modern entertainment company, and that is Snap Inc., which is the parent company of Snapchat, which trades under the ticker Snap, so S-N-A-P. They're set to report their Q3 results on Thursday, October 21st. So we're going to dive into the broader business and what they've done recently. Snap has continually enhanced its social media app that became famous for disappearing photos and videos. Today, it's full of video content and shows from social media stars to actual Hollywood celebrities like Kevin Hart, as well as mega brands like the NFL and Disney and many others. Its Discover page has gained traction and become a booming mobile gaming market as well. It's been in that business for over 2 years now. The company's also constantly releasing new various augmented reality offerings, and it launched its Spotlight feature late last year to challenge TikTok, which is continuing to grow. So Snap's beefed up portfolio of entertainment offerings has attracted advertisers as more and more people are disconnecting from ad-supported legacy media and simply ignore more traditional banner ads. So this is why Netflix has done well. People are leaving, they're cutting the cord, they're spending money on Netflix, they don't see ads. And this is why Snap is able to grab some of those digital advertising dollars. So investors should know that Snap has boasted that in the U.S. it reaches more than 90% of 13 to 24-year-olds and more than 75% of 13 to 34-year-olds, which is a really mind-blowing number. Snap's ability to reach this, what they call unduplicated and hard-to-reach audience, has attracted Wall Street's attention for sure, and it continues to add users and monetize its platform. This also comes in the face as Facebook and others face more and more government scrutiny, which could help boost Snap as well. So the company posted strong second quarter results. Revenue more than doubled, and user growth jumped for the most in 4 years as people continued to flock to the social media app despite returning to their normal lives. But their normal lives, no matter what the COVID restrictions are still going to feature people on social media. So the company reached a 293 million daily active users, exceeding the roughly 290 million Wall Street was calling for. Snap had 238 million daily active users in the year ago period. So that's up 23% and revenue increased 116%, all the way up to $982 million. So really big quarter last quarter. And if we look ahead, we're now calling for 60% growth in the third quarter, 68% growth for the full year. So jumping from 2.5 billion last year all the way up to 4.2 billion, and then another 50% growth we're calling for in 2022 all the way up to 6.3 billion. Investors should also be pleased to know the company is expected to swing from an adjusted loss of 6 cents per share last year all the way up to 34 cents per share in positive earnings, and then climb all the way up to 80 cents per share in 2022. And we should note that the 68% growth this year we're calling for would be its best growth as a public company. And we should also know that 2022 would also be its best growth as a public company at around 50%. And these would follow three straight years of between 43 to 46% revenue growth, which is really impressive. So five straight years of between 43 all the way up to 68% revenue growth is certainly worth considering. We should also note that the company's earnings revisions activity for Q3 and Q4 has remained pretty stagnant. But its overall 2021 and 2022 figures are way above where they were before its Q2 report. So that's a good sign. We should also note the company has continued to crush our estimates, including posting adjusted positive earnings of 10 cents per share last quarter when we called for a loss of 2 cents per share. So that was a big quarter. And they also posted big growth or big beats in the trailing three quarters before the second quarter. That said, Snaps does land a Zacks Verdict number 3 hold at the moment, along with B grades for both growth and momentum in our style score system. And just like with Netflix, Snap has a relatively high approval rating from Wall Street at the moment. So 17 of the 23 brokerage recommendations that Zacks has are strong buys, with none sitting below a hold. And we should note that the stock has soared 175% in the past year, and it's had some really big moves following earnings. So when it reported its Q3 2020 results, so last October, it soared. It was trading at around 20-something dollars a share, around $25 a share, and it soared all the way up to around 50 shortly after that. And then it moved then sideways for a couple months to start 2021. And then it had a big post-release jump after its Q2 report. And it's also then sort of moved sideways since then. So with that in mind, the stock is trading at around $75 a share, or about 10% below its later September highs, which could be give it some room to run if it's once again able to post blowout results. As we said, in two out of the last four quarters, after its results, it's skyrocketed. And as I said, that recent sort of sideways movement, trading about 10% below its record highs, could give it some room to run. It's also sitting just below or just above its 50-day moving average at the moment. And in terms of those RSI levels, it's sitting at around neutral at 50. So it's certainly not overbought and it's not oversold at the moment. So either way, it could provide some room for Snap to run. And it's trading at about 20 times forward sales at the moment, which is around its year-long median. So that's a good sign, as it just sits about 10% below its actual price. And of course, as we touch on, investors with longer-term outlooks might want to consider buying Snap now, given its ability to constantly evolve in the modern media world, and it plays into the overall smartphone addiction while attracting vital demographics and more digital advertisers are willing to spend on Snap, and more advertisers in general are moving towards digital. With that said, to it take about 70% of the overall advertising dollars in the U.S., up from well below 50% just a couple years ago. But like with Netflix, some investors might want to hold off until after their report. But unlike Netflix, it's not trading right at new highs, so it could easily be able to go to new highs if it's able to beat Wall Street expectations. But either way, longer term investors don't need to necessarily worry as much about timing Snap stock heading in to its results next week. So that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute, an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.